WMAL News at 7, I'm Heather Curtis. In a move likely to anger Democrats, Virginia's House Republicans invite the two women accusing Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax of sexual assault and Fairfax himself to testify before a House committee. Political science professor Dr. Stephen Farnsworth.
Having the accusers testify is the logical next step in this process. It makes a lot of sense for the legislature to consider these allegations. They're very serious allegations, and they need to be dealt with by the legislature.
Meredith Watson says she will testify. Fairfax maintains the sexual contact he had with her and Vanessa Tyson was consensual. In a statement, his spokeswoman dismissed the GOP plans as political theater. Meanwhile, the General Assembly wraps up its session this weekend. And during that session, one new law coming out of it aims to improve safety of student-athletes. Governor Ralph Northam signed legislation yesterday that requires school systems to update guidelines and policies on dealing with suspected concussions every 2 years. Leaders of the Catholic Church are now in day 3 of a sex abuse summit called by the Pope. Munich's Archbishop Reinhard Marx says one issue is church officials claim they never saw evidence of the abuse. Leading cardinals said yesterday the church needs to repair the systematic failures that led sexual abuse to take place in churches around the world for decades. They say bishops need to start policing each other's behavior. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft is categorically denying he hired a prostitute, according to a spokesperson. But police in Jupiter, Florida say they caught him red-handed on videotape, paying for a sex act inside an illicit massage parlor. He's charged with misdemeanor solicitation of a prostitute. An arrest warrant is expected to be issued. Kraft was caught with hundreds of others during a widespread crackdown on sex trafficking in the area surrounding Palm Beach County. Celebrations today at the National Zoo's giant panda exhibit. Sorry, panda fans, there's no new panda cub, but there's a new exhibit to teach people about panda conservation efforts over the last decade and celebrate the fact that giant pandas are no longer on the list of endangered species. The ribbon cutting starts at 9. The celebrations last until 2. In sports, the Wizards fell to the Hornets 123-110. Tonight, the Wizards play the Pacers, and the Caps take on the Sabres this afternoon. Up next, traffic and weather on WMAL.
Your personal pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is 4K a day on WMAL.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Listen weekdays at 9.05 a.m. and 12.05, 3.05, and 6.05 p.m. for the national keyword. Then text it to 95819. It's that easy. Just text the national keyword to 95819, and you could instantly win $1,000.
Thank you.
For rules and info, check out WMAL.com. Remember, don't text and drive. It's 4K a day on WMAL.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over this stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
It happens just once a year, and it's big. The big screen stores big. Once a year, close out, blow out. Save big on every Samsung big screen TV. How big? How about up to $3,000 on Samsung end-of-model-year big-screen 4K UHD TVs? Save big on every last overstock and floor sample model. We're closing them all out. The Big Screen Store's Big Closeout Blowout is a once-a-year event. But as always, we double the length of your TV warranty free. And our prices beat Best Buy, Amazon, and warehouse clubs every time with our legendary expert service and installation second to none. If you've been waiting for the perfect time to buy your new big screen, this is it. Don't miss the Big Screen Store's big once-a-year closeout blowout. Visit us at thebigscreenstore.com for offer details. Store locations in Maryland and Virginia.
WMAL Traffic and Weather, here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Maryland, on 270 southbound between Middlebrook Road and Montgomery Village Avenue, there is accident activity. This is involving a truck and a fuel spill. Hazmat is on the scene, so some lanes are blocked at that accident scene. And also now we're getting reports in Stafford County, 95 northbound, reports of a vehicle fire now, and that is affecting the northbound side, the right lane and the right shoulder, right at exit 140, Route 630, so do be aware of that. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, rain mainly after 9 a.m., high near 43. Tonight, rain, a low around 40. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM and AM 630.
Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi is a fixture to lead off the top of the 7 o'clock hour. John, good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Rick.
John, of course, is the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. And some late-breaking news Friday afternoon. Kelly Kraft, the United States ambassador to Canada, has been nominated by President Trump to become the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. And she's had quite a career in her ambassadorship with Canada, John.
Kelly Knight Kraft was a well-liked ambassador in Ottawa. And even when there was some tension between President Trump and Prime Minister Trudeau, the ambassador was often seen as the one who smoothed things over. Her skills come not from the diplomatic realm or not even from politics. Kelly Kraft was a businesswoman in Kentucky, a community leader in her hometown of Glasgow, Kentucky, one of the big movers and shakers in the Salvation Army, not to mention many other charities. In many ways, she's the embodiment of what Ronald Reagan called the citizen politician, someone who is successful in the private sector and then gives of herself to public service in different forms. That's a very new style figure to go to Turtle Bay when one considers ambassadors have historically been former politicians. She comes there when Heather Nauert, the president's first nominee, decided not to go through the confirmation process. Many people said that Ms. Nauert, former Fox News anchor and State Department spokeswoman, did not have the knowledge of world leaders and names of political parties and other things that Democrats would surely love to play a gotcha game with her on. So she has decided to take her name out last Saturday, and then came along Ambassador Kraft. My prediction is this is one nominee who will sail through in the Senate confirmation process and start with a residue of goodwill when she hits the General Assembly.
Expectations that the Mueller report might have been out as of early next week, but that story's changed. John, what's the latest?
The word that it was coming out next week came from the man who is about to become the U.S. Attorney General, the former Attorney General, William P. Barr. He said he expected the report next week. It was only yesterday, in fact, late Friday afternoon, sources close to Mr. Mueller made it clear his report was not coming out next week. It may not be out the week after, and we honestly don't know when it's going to come out. Now, here's some thought from someone who has observed independent prosecutors for decades. Number one, the Attorney General of the United States, someone who, while his vote for confirmation was almost along partisan lines, is someone who historically has not been involved in politics at all and is a lawyer first and foremost. Someone like that would not say that Mueller's report is coming out next week unless he had a pretty good hint. Hence, I think William P. Barr, whom I consider the epitome of intellectual honesty, was speaking based on what he knew at the time. It was then that the special prosecutor Kushner's office, in effect, corrected the Attorney General and said it wouldn't be coming out. Now, I do believe that he was getting some signals from Mueller, but that Mueller just may have a few more witnesses or a few more people who've come over and turned evidence that he feels he can prolong this a little bit longer. When is it coming out? I have no idea. But I have a funny feeling I don't think you're going to hear predictions about when a report is coming out. And as Yogi Berra used to say, it ain't over till it's over.
So Michael Cohen is headed to Capitol Hill and apparently will be in a hearing at the same moments that the president will be in Hanoi, North Vietnam,
yes,
talking with Kim Jong-un. And there's been a lot of criticism as to the timing. And I just wanted to get your take on it from sort of a historical perspective or precedence. When you have a president away negotiating on nuclear matters, is it really wise for the opposition party on Capitol Hill to basically be embarrassing the president, which is about all they want to do?
Well, there was a time when that kind of mentality and the deference to the commander-in-chief was respected, but in modern times, that has faded away. In 1974, President Nixon was going to the Middle East and dealing with the leadership of both Egypt and Israel less than a year after he helped Israel face down the Arab invader and then keep the Russians out of the Middle East. No small feat. And yet, Congress was moving toward an impeachment of the 37th president, regardless of the sensitive negotiations he was handling. This is something that really, in our age of instant communication, in the world of Twitter, and in the world of breaking news, it is just darn impossible to keep the president's enemies at bay, even when he's doing some critically sensitive negotiations with an important foreign power.
Well, let's talk about another possible precedent that could be set if President Trump decides to veto a congressional measure that's being proposed that would block his emergency declaration. So if the president does veto the measure that is basically to try and control his powers when it comes to spending, what kind of reaction would you expect from Capitol Hill?
Oh, I think the next step is they'll be in court right away to say that he was not entitled to do this. And, of course, the Supreme Court will probably uphold the veto power of the president to pass anything. Look, let's face it, Donald Trump knows exactly what he has to do under the Federal Emergency Powers Act of 1976 in order to get actual funds earmarked for some kind of construction to coming over and building the wall that he has been talking about since he became a candidate for president. He also knows there's going to be challenges. As we speak, the National Governors Association is meeting in Washington, and governors from both parties are talking about ways to legally challenge and thwart the president's pursuit of funding for the wall under emergency powers. There'll be court action, and 16 states, through their attorneys general, have already started the suit to stop the president from doing this. Then, of course, any emergency declaration has to be reviewed by Congress every 6 months, and he could easily be voted down at some point. A lot of Republicans aren't happy. My guess is that the actual building of the wall, if it is going to occur, will occur only once these legal hurdles are overcome, and that means we won't be seeing ground broken until 2020, an election year.
Continue our conversation with John Gizzi in just a second, right after a quick check of the traffic and weather in Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Couple of problems to watch out for now. We do have a vehicle fire northbound on 95 between the Centerport Parkway and Courthouse Road in the right lane. And also we do have a serious accident southbound on 270 between Middlebrook Road and Quince Orchard Road, 124. This involves a box truck and there's a fuel spill. Hazmat is on the scene. Watch for at least one lane to be blocked in that area, and delays are starting to form. No other incidents or problems to report. There is some construction on 66 eastbound west of Route 29 in Gainesville, with the two left lanes blocked until about 9 o'clock this morning. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Looks like rain today, high 43, some morning rain tomorrow, but 67 by tomorrow afternoon, breezy both days. Sunshine Monday up to 46, cloudy on Tuesday and Wednesday with the highs in the mid-40s. It's 37 in Washington, 717, Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
The Saturday morning update continues. I'm Rick Fowler. We are talking with John Gizzi. He is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. It's interesting, John, when the president sets a policy or sets a course, he's often harshly criticized for it. He listens to that criticism, changes his mind, and when he does change his mind, he's harshly criticized for it by the same people who criticized him to begin with. As an example, the Trump administration is now planning to leave roughly 400 U.S. troops in Syria indefinitely after withdrawing from the country, when originally he said he would not leave any troops behind. What do you make of the change in direction from the president?
Well, I think obviously this is a president who is base-driven, and his supporters have long said they do not want foreign involvement, particularly over a period of years. I'd say that people around him, notably National Security Advisor John Bolton, told him that there is no need for troops anymore in Syria because there are not going to be winners in Syria anymore. And that led to the resignation, of course, of his Secretary of Defense, James Mattis. My feeling is that when the president does an action like this, he also knows that he's going to make an enemy somewhere in the world. We've seen his action in Syria cause a deterioration of his relationship with Turkish President Erdogan. And I can tell you that that's led to the Erdogan government now going to Russia for the S-400 missiles. The U.S. in turn will reply with sanctions. The president has been on both sides of different issues, has changed his views, but only one thing is certain. This is one Congress, and this is one Democratic Party, that just is still fighting the election of 2 years ago.
John, a fascinating chain of events this week in North Carolina politics, where it's alleged that a staffer for Republican congressional candidate Mark Harris was actually participating in voter fraud, and this one is all going to start from scratch?
It certainly is, and it wouldn't be me without a history lesson this morning. And North Carolina 9 will be the first rerun of a disputed congressional race, are you ready for this, in exactly 42 years. That's when Democrat Richard Tonry was facing overwhelming evidence of voter fraud. He was thrown off the ballot, and in the end, the man who should have won the election in 1976, Republican Bob Livingston, emerged as the easy winner of the special election. This is a little more complicated. No one has been convicted of any crime. No one is under indictment. But the Republican who led in the initial race, Mark Harris, had employed someone who had a very dark and checkered record and was blatantly violating laws in terms of collecting absentee ballots. And what really was most painful for him, to the point of tears, was to hear his own son, an assistant U.S. attorney, Jonathan Harris, say before a jury that he'd warned his father repeatedly, stay away from this guy. Well, he didn't. the campaign hired him, and it went down to the wire with Democrat Dan McCready. Now the two will square off again in a special election. I'm not going to predict anything on this race. Special elections do not have people above or below them on the ticket to drag it a certain way, up or down or over the finish line. I would just simply say that when someone goes into a race tainted, no matter when it is, that's going to be a hard race for them to win. We'll see.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. You can follow him by going to Google and entering Gizzi on Politics. John, thank you.
Thank you for the plug, Rick, and have a grand weekend, everyone.
We shall do. 7:23 Saturday morning update, WMAL. Priceless, priceless story next. Dianne Feinstein versus students. You'll love this. It's next.
Well, here we are. It's tax time again. The first year under the new tax reform law is in the books, and we'll soon find out how you did. By the way, did you make any changes last year to prepare for the new law? Abe Abish offered his clients a custom tax mapping report to help them see where they stand. You just bring in your return, they'll enter your numbers, and the computer software creates a personalized report showing how you can potentially lower your tax obligations. And even if you missed out last year, don't worry. Abe's office still offers this at no charge during tax time. All you have to do is call 571-577-9968 to set up a time to map your taxes. Abe will also provide you with a tax and benefit guide that's a handy reference list for your retirement-related tax questions. That number again is 571-577-9968 or visit retirementkeyradio.com. Abraham Abish does not offer legal or tax advice. Insurance and annuities offered through Abraham Abish, Virginia Insurance License 557-877.
At MGM National Harbor, take home the biggest cash prize of the year, but you better act fast. Play Cold Hard Cash now through March 1st for a chance to win $100,000 cash. The more you play, the more chances you have to win. Just swipe your M Life Rewards card and you could be the one shoveling cash this season. Every day is monumental at MGM National Harbor when you have another chance to win.
Person must be 21 and cannot be on the Maryland exclusion list. Please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.com or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Attention timeshare owners. Did some high-pressure salesperson twist your arm into buying a timeshare? Did they forget to mention that the vacation times you want will never be available or that it will cost you more to use the timeshare than if you just booked online as a non-owner? I bet that salesperson also forgot to mention your fees will go up year after year after year. They misled you. It's not right, and it's not your fault. Whether you bought decades ago or days ago, we can help. Timeshare Freedom Group's Freedom Process has helped thousands of people get out of unwanted timeshares. Let us help you be free from your regrettable, overpriced, and unavailable timeshare. We are the leaders in the industry with decades of experience canceling timeshares worldwide, legally and permanently. That's why we offer a 100% money-back guarantee. Start the Freedom Process now by calling Timeshare Freedom Group at 800-464-5603. That's 800-464-5603. 800-464-5603. Or come meet us face-to-face at your local office. TimeshareFreedomGroup.com.
Saturday morning update. It is 7:26. I'm Rick Fowler, and we've seen the circular firing squad that the Democrats have embarked upon over the Green New Deal. Now, this is a classic. Dianne Feinstein, of course, Senator, California, meets with young people. The Sunrise Movement is a youth climate change advocacy group, and you've got about a dozen children, several adults, are meeting with Senator Feinstein to present her a letter that they wrote and to ask her to vote yes on the Green New Deal. Listen to how the senator tries to handle these young people. This is classic.
We're asking her to vote yes on the Green New Deal.
We are trying to ask you to vote yes on the Green New Deal.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We have our own Green New Deal.
Some scientists have said that we have 12 years to turn this around.
Well, it's not going to get turned around in 10 years. What we can do,
Senator, if this doesn't get turned around in 10 years, you're looking at the faces of the people who are going to be living with these consequences.
The government is supposed to be for the people, by the people, and all
for the people. You know what's interesting about this group? It's, I've been doing this for 30 years. I know what I'm doing. You come in here and you say it has to be my way or the highway. I don't respond to that. I've gotten elected. I just ran. I was elected by almost a million vote plurality. And I know what I'm doing. So, you know, maybe people should listen a little bit.
I hear what you're saying, but we're the people who voted you. You're supposed to listen to us. That's your job.
How old are you?
I'm 16. I can't vote.
Well, you didn't vote for me.
Well, she voted.
It doesn't matter. We're the ones who are
impacted.
It doesn't matter. We're going to be the ones who are impacted.
I understand that. I have 7 grandchildren. I understand it very well.
Senator, the cost of not taking this action is far higher than the cost of what the Green New Deal will be.
Did you vote for me? You're only 16. The classic in this is, did you hear where she got a dose of her own my way or the highway? You know, the Democrats, and in some cases the Republicans now for the last couple of years, it's been my way or the highway. And she just got a dose of that from the kids, and I love it. You know, I think the kids won that debate with Senator Feinstein. 728, Saturday Morning Update.
Why are you checking your phone?
I'm so sorry. Let me just finish this up. There. I placed a trade for tomorrow morning. Boom.
Wow, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I've been taking classes at Online Trading Academy.
Really?
I was just feeling really stuck, you know, frustrated, trying to get ahead. They taught me some really great skills, and I'm loving it. They've taught me all these new strategies designed to produce income and grow my retirement savings.
It's Online Trading Academy?
They're a world leader in teaching people how to become traders and investors.
You think I can learn this?
I mean, of course. I was just glad I signed up for their free class to see if Online Trading Academy was right for me. They show you all kinds of different strategies you can learn to make money trading and investing and to adapt to the market, whether it's going up or down.
How do I get started?
Online Trading Academy invites you to their next free class. If you call 877-304-TRADE right now and register, they'll send you a free online video course so you can start learning right away. 877-304-TRADE. 877-304-TRADE. Or otaclass.com. 877-304-TRADE. Or otaclass.com.
Listen to Into Africa, presented by Oasis Group International and hosted by Michelle Ballarin, this Sunday at 10 a.m. and again at 9 p.m. here on WMAL and WMAL.com. Into Africa, achieving the possible. Sundays at 10 a.m. and 9 p.m.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Get your shot at $1,000 four times a day. 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station. News. Now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Heather Curtis. A former county official from Germantown is sentenced to 4 years in prison for embezzling more than $6.7 million from Montgomery County government.
Peter Bang, who was the chief operating officer of Montgomery County's Economic Development Department, was sentenced Friday. Prosecutors say he used most of the stolen money to feed a gambling addiction. U.S. Attorney Robert Herr said in a statement that the embezzled money could have been used for schools, libraries, and other county expenditures. Bang pleaded guilty back in November to both federal and state criminal charges. He faces a March 7th sentencing hearing for the state convictions. Maria Leaf on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Virginia House Republicans are giving the two women accusing the lieutenant governor of sexual assault and the lieutenant governor himself the chance to be heard. The House Courts of Justice Committee will allow Vanessa Tyson, Meredith Watson, and Justin Fairfax to testify. So could the testimony lead to Fairfax being impeached? Political science professor Dr. Stephen Farnsworth weighs in.
I think everything depends on how credible the witnesses are, how credible the lieutenant governor's defense is. And then once the testimony is on the record, then the lawmakers will decide what the next step is.
Watson says she'll testify. Fairfax denies the allegation and says sexual contact was consensual. In a statement, his spokeswoman dismissed the GOP plans as political theater. When will Special Counsel Robert Mueller release his report on the Russia investigation? A senior department official tells the Associated Press on condition of anonymity the report will not be delivered to the Justice Department next week. It's not clear when the Attorney General will get the report, where Mueller explains his decisions to pursue or decline prosecutions. Up next, traffic and weather on WMAL.
It's easy to overreact to headlines, especially in volatile times like these. But the truth is, there can be costs to inaction as well as action. So how are you supposed to know what to do and when? Now is a great time to get in touch with your financial advisor. This is Simon Hamilton from the Wise Investor Group. Give us a call. We think we can help.
Simon Hamilton and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated. To reach Simon, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
Simply Safe is the fastest growing home security company in the country, protecting over 3 million people already. They protect your home 24/7 with no contracts, no hidden fees. You can order your Simply Safe system online, just a few clicks, and you'll see it feels good to fear less. Go to SimplySafeUSA.com to get free shipping, free returns, and 10% off your system. SimplySafeUSA.com.
It's 7:33 on WMAL Traffic and Weather. Here's Michelle Murray, in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Serious accident on southbound 270 in Germantown between Middlebrook Road and 124 has several lanes of traffic closed. Hazmat is on the scene assisting. This is involving a fuel spill, so do be aware of that and watch for delays starting to form there. Now on 95 northbound between Centerport Parkway and Courthouse Road, we did have a vehicle fire that was blocking the right lane, so use caution in that area as well. No other incidents report on 95. On 66, watch for some road widening work until about 9 o'clock this morning. Traveling eastbound just west of Route 29 in Gainesville. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today, rain, mainly after 9 a.m., a high near 43. Tonight, rain, a low around 40. Right now, 40 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
It happens just once a year, and it's big. The big screen store's big. Once a year, close out, blow out. Save big on every Samsung big screen TV. How big? How about up to $3,000 on Samsung end-of-model-year big screen 4K UHD TVs? Save big on every last overstock and floor sample model. We're closing them all out. The big screen store's big close-out blowout is a once-a-year event. But as always, we double the length of your TV warranty free. And our prices beat Best Buy, Amazon, and warehouse clubs every time with our legendary expert service and installation second to none. If you've been waiting for the perfect time to buy your new big screen, this is it. Don't miss the big screen store's big once-a-year close-out blowout. Visit us at thebigscreenstore.com for offer details. Store locations in Maryland and Virginia.
Your mission is winter survival. These tips will help you conquer the coldest winter in years. HVAC survival tip number one, program your thermostat. Heating bills skyrocket in the winter, but programmable thermostats can help. Program your thermostat back 7 to 10 degrees when you're away from home and save money. Don't have a programmable thermostat? Don't panic. Right now, get a Nest Learning Thermostat and a heating inspection for $379. Visit FHFur.com for more winter tips. That's FHFur.com.
Attention timeshare owners. Did some high-pressure salesperson twist your arm into buying a timeshare? Did they forget to mention that the vacation times you want will never be available or that it will cost you more to use the timeshare than if you just booked online as a non-owner? I bet that salesperson also forgot to mention your fees will go up year after year after year. They misled you. It's not right, and it's not your fault. Whether you bought decades ago or days ago, we can help. Timeshare Freedom Group's Freedom Process has helped thousands of people get out of unwanted timeshares. Let us help you be free from your regrettable, overpriced, and unavailable timeshare. We are the leaders in the industry with decades of experience canceling timeshares worldwide, legally and permanently. That's why we offer a 100% money-back guarantee. Start the Freedom Process now by calling Timeshare Freedom Group at 800-464-5603. That's 800-464-5603. 800-464-5603.
or come meet us face-to-face at your local office. TimeshareFreedomGroup.com.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630. Washington's Mall, WMAL.
7:36, I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is a retired Senior Intelligence Operations Officer, more than 20 years with the U.S. Army, now President of the London Center for Policy Research in Manhattan. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
I wish we had about an hour and a half to spend this morning, Tony, but we will get right to it. Syria. The administration now says 400 troops will remain in Syria, and of course there was a huge dust-up when the president had spoken of taking all the troops out. What is the significance of these 400 troops? It doesn't sound like a lot of troops, but what kind of a difference does it make?
Well, it's going to make a huge difference, and this force is going to be what it should have always been. Essentially, we will have a small number of folks who will be involved in helping supervise and interact with the friendly forces, that is the Kurds and others who will be continuing to work to bring stability, to bring governance back to those regions which were formerly occupied by ISIS. So this is different than what we were doing. And let's be clear for the audience, and the wonky folks will understand what I'm saying. Essentially, the president, and I think the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and other leaders, did not want us to be engaged in a full-scale occupation, that is to say thousands of troops doing what we did in Afghanistan, which essentially is nation building. So this is us taking a step back and recognizing that we need to find a way to essentially do what we would do with any region, which we have had an interest in, which is work with our allies, provide them logistic support, provide them air support, provide the full spectrum of things which is necessary for them to be successful. And I would argue this is an extension of what we're doing in Iraq. You know, we don't want to stay in Iraq and force indefinitely either. But so I think this is the best path forward. It is not the thousands of troops what we had before. A footprint of 400 folks is a lot less than you might think regarding the size of the country we're talking. So I think this is a very positive move.
So it's a plus, obviously, for the Kurds, our allies. What kind of a signal does this send to our other allies who were trying to enlist to back us up there?
Well, that gives them a good sign as well. I mean, the president's talked about Jordan and the Saudis and others coming in to Qatar to fund some of this stuff. I'm sorry, Bahrain. And this is where continuing to supervise, it's a good idea. One of the things that we continue to push is the idea of an Arab NATO, this Middle East Strategic Alliance. Unfortunately, the State Department has not been as rapidly moving forward with it as we think they should, but it has to do with how we can work to settle not only Syria but other areas by working by, with, and through our allies there. So this is something that I think will continue to show we can work with our allies and be very effective.
All right. I want to talk about Russia, and I want to walk back to last Sunday night. 60 Minutes, Scott Pelley and the former acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe. I don't recall hearing or seeing anywhere in any of the interview, either on 60 Minutes or in some of the segments they played elsewhere, I don't remember seeing any mention of Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, the reference to Andy's office, or the insurance policy. And the impression I got of the whole segment with Andrew McCabe, it was like a softball game. You know, Scott Pelley just lobbing the softballs in. Did you hear any reference to the insurance policy? The question I would have asked was, are you the Andy that Lisa Page and Peter Strzok referred to, and are you aware of the insurance policy?
Well, that's the most obvious question that one, if they were truly a journalist, would have asked. I mean, it's really lingering out there. And I think Pelley, as a journalist, has failed miserably on that point. Remember, Rick, Laura Logan of 60 Minutes has come out and publicly been pilloried by the left for having come out and said there's a left-leaning stance within the media. And I think this is this is kind of a proof of her point. There's a number of things which have now indicated that McCabe was the man behind the scenes before the election of Donald Trump, after the election of Donald Trump, and now with the 25th Amendment issue, who was essentially, you know, to use an X-Files metaphor, the smoking man. He was kind of there for everything, kind of pushing it along. And his now attempt at diminishing his role and I think laughable. And people like Pelley are kind of pushing along the whole thing of nothing to see here. He's an honorable man who's trying to do the best he could regarding this now so-called 8 days in May of 2017, where there was the period between the firing of Comey and the appointing of Mueller. And the media needs to ask hard questions. Now, obviously, he's not going to go on Fox and actually have people ask him hard questions over there.
You penned an op-ed that's in the Daily Caller. The headline on it, Trump made the right move killing Reagan-era nuclear treaty with Russia. And in that op-ed, you kind of refer to this as being evidence that the president is not an agent of Russia, as Andy was losing sleep over back in May.
Yeah, look, I encourage people to go look at it. I try to lay out the factual, just bare bones case of why it was important to examine the violations of the treaty, which happened, by the way, under the Obama watch. It was well documented. They attempted through diplomatic channels to push back ineffectively, I might add. And President Trump came into office, witnessed what had been done, and decided he was going to do something different. That difference is being provocative by the fact that he saw the treaty wasn't working. And look, I was a very young operative. I worked to observe the destruction of our Pershing 2 missiles, and I worked with the FBI. We ran joint Army FBI teams to monitor the Soviet officers here, to monitor the destruction of our boosters. So I understand what happened and why it was a good treaty at the time. But now it limits us from being able to create weapons of a class that China's building, North Korea had built, and other adversaries like Iran are building, and we can't build them by the treaty, and the Russians already violated. So I think by all practical measures, it was a good thing to do. And yeah, to your point, when the president continues to stand up to Russia to provide Ukraine lethal support to do things like this, which are, you know, by any expert, and by the way, the old Reagan national security folks listened to our broadcast, so I know I talked to several of them yesterday, and they all support the idea of what the president's doing. It's time to be practical about foreign policy. President Trump took a very practical step in walking away from the INF treaty.
I want to turn to Hoda Muthanna, and she left the United States. She joined the Islamic State in Syria in 2014. She wants to come back to the United States. She claims that she's an American citizen, having been born here. Mike Pompeo, President Trump, said, you're not coming back. Tell us a little bit about how you would envision she lost her citizenship because of what she did with ISIS.
Right. I think the most practical way of explaining it is observing what she had done as an ISIS operative online. About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we all remember the constant barrage of Twitter accounts which were being created by people like her, who had a clear understanding of the English language and were clearly not on our side. We're attempting, in her case, to incite violence, inspiring others to conduct violent attacks here in the United States. That's essentially, you know, at minimum, aiding comfort to terrorists. Some would argue this is being a terrorist. And plus, there may be evidence that she participated as a so-called ISIS wife of three different guys in acts of, you know, brutality herself. So you add that to her essentially publicly destroying, I think there's a tweet she put out where she publicly talked about destroying her passport and renouncing citizenship. I don't know, Rick. I mean, if you publicly renounce your citizenship on Twitter, is that a legal statement or not? And I think that's where they've looked at this and said, no, she basically, by her own admission, said she's no longer a citizen. And there's some question about her being born here regarding, to a diplomat at the time she was born. With that said, the president and Mike Pompeo have the right to look at the law and say who can come in and come out. And at this point, the legal interpretation is she does not retain her citizenship as a U.S. citizen. And, she may have a passport if that may have happened, but according to the NBC article. But let me tell you, coming into the country, even with a passport, it's not that easy because you have to go through a process. And I'm pretty sure she'd be turned away if she tries to show up.
Okay, this week we saw the arrest of Christopher Hassan, a Coast Guard officer, and according to filings by the court, he plotted attacks against possible Democratic leadership, other key leaders in the country, and he plotted those attacks at his desk at the Coast Guard. We saw the images of the arsenal of weapons that he had, but the authorities have had their eyes on him for a long time.
Yeah, apparently this is something the services have implemented. I know some of the folks involved. There's an insider threat program to detect individuals who, you know, surprise, surprise, may be considering acts of terror. So in this case, it sounds to me like he had popped up on the radar by the fact that he was doing the searches to these jihadi, you know, right-wing, you know, war, you know, these extreme white extremist sites at work. So like any business, if you're doing research work, the business has the right to review what you're doing. And I tend to believe based on, and I don't want to get in a lot of detail, but we do have these insider threat programs now, which do monitor what some of these folks do at work. Certain keywords come up and are examined. So I think that's what happened here. Because if you look at the number of weapons, look, he's got a lot of weapons, but look, this is America. You can have weapons. I think there's some other things that will be probably presented with here in the near future. But it's a reminder that there can be no tolerance of terror from either side of the political spectrum. And I do anticipate that there'll be more on what he was planning to do in the near future.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and again, his article in the Daily Caller, the headline on it, Trump made the right move killing Reagan-era nuclear treaty with Russia, and good detail on the entire relationship with the administration and Russia. Tony, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Take care.
You bet. 7:48, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On southbound 270 at 124 Quince Orchard Road, serious accidents have three of the six southbound lanes blocked right now, and traffic is jammed from Middlebrook Road. This is involving a truck, and a fuel spill. Hazmat is on the scene assisting. The earlier vehicle fire in Virginia, northbound 95 between the Centerport Parkway and Courthouse Road, has been cleared. Travel lanes there are open. Keep in mind that if you are traveling in the Falmouth area, Route 1, Harrell Road is closed in both directions between Forbes Street and Bramer Place because of flooding conditions. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Rain today with a high of 43, morning rain tomorrow, then breezy in the afternoon, high 67 on Sunday. Sunny on Monday, high 46, cloudy Tuesday and Wednesday, high in the mid-40s, 38 in Washington, headed to 43, 7:49 Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is a Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. It is good to have you with us, our final weekend in February, and we're joined by Cheryl Atkinson. She is the host of Full Measure and, of course, the author of The Smear. And, Cheryl, it is great to have you with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thought about you the other night, Cheryl, when Lara Logan was on Hannity, because she is also a former CBS journalist, and she made some very interesting comments about the bias in the media, and not only the bias in the media, but how the media and those around will attack somebody that is not in sync with their narrative. And it sounds very familiar because we've talked about this with you and your experience before.
Well, what I'd like you to know is there are quite a few people who work and have worked in national media who hold similar views, but what happens to you when you express them is such an unpleasant thing and such a career-ending thing in many cases that a lot of people just don't want to say it, can't afford to say it. But yes, Lara is echoing a lot of the same themes that I and other journalists have observed and experienced in terms of the turn that our media has taken. In some cases, there's still, as she said, a lot of great journalism being done. But what we see dominant on the television news oftentimes and on cable news and even in newspapers now is this sort of altered state of news, the blending of opinion and facts until it's no longer firewalled and distinguished apart from each other. And it's a very dangerous and harmful blend, she says, and I agree.
What about the whole notion of sort of being blackballed in the industry and people in the industry that, you know, will really come out and attack?
Well, I have another acquaintance who, very high-level, top award-winning print journalist, who wrote something in a forum similar to what we've been talking about and said he heard from longtime supposed friends and colleagues that were just mad. Not that it wasn't true what he said, but they didn't like him saying it. And you have to be very brave if you're like him or if you're like Lara, or have simply given up the notion that you have to have a career in this industry anymore. When I left CBS and spoke out about some of these things, I accepted ahead of time when I decided to quit and to do that, that I wouldn't be working in the industry anymore. I'm surprised I am. I found a company, and I got offered quite a few jobs, and I write for print publications, and I work for Sinclair and have my own Sunday show. So it was surprising to me that anybody wanted to hire me after I spoke these kinds of truths. But I think that's a reflection of the idea that this facade that we see where we're not supposed to say that sort of thing, it's an open secret. And there are people that want to see news the way it used to be, or at least the way they thought it was, a more fact-based, less opinionized news. And I think Lara will come out just fine, finding something that she wants to do on her terms, where she feels it's an honest, you know, an honest pursuit in the journalism industry. I don't know what that will be, but I'm quite sure she'll find.
I want to turn to a story you have tomorrow on Full Measure. It's ABC 7, 10 o'clock in the morning. A few years back, Acorn was a very visible and very vocal community organizing group here in the country. What happened to Acorn, and what do you uncover tomorrow?
Well, if people remember anything about them, they probably remember it was super prominent in terms of get out the vote, community organizing. Did a lot of good. It really did. It was huge. But there was a lot of controversy as well. There were voting fraud allegations and investigations, some of which turned out to be founded. But more importantly, I think, for the detriment of this organization was there was a corruption and embezzlement scandal. And it turned out that they had covered up years of the brother of the founder embezzling and stealing millions of dollars and tried to keep it secret. Well, we're talking to, in our cover story this week, two whistleblowers among this group called the Acorn Eight. These were devoted organizers with Acorn who didn't want to cover up the corruption. And they said a lot of board members did and tried. And they brought it to light. They wanted to fix the organization and clean it up instead of cover it up. And we tell the story what happened to them at the hands of their colleagues when they simply tried to tell the truth and tried to save Acorn. And then I have some surprising stuff if you watch about Acorn declared bankruptcy, but some of these same people that were behind it when all this was going on are still out there today, and we'll tell you about that too.
President Trump will be in Vietnam this week, and Scott Thuman of Full Measure was recently in Vietnam. And while he was there, he experienced something that I don't think a lot of us even realize is happening.
Yeah, you know, you don't hear much about it anymore. The missing in action soldiers from the United States that have still never been accounted for from the Vietnam War over decades ago. And they're still being turned over when these remains are found in Vietnam through this cooperative agreement. We've become very friendly in many ways with Vietnam, economically and otherwise, our former enemy. And Scott was the only independent American media there for a handover ceremony. Very moving, very important, I think very interesting. He'll have that story. And I just want to say, my husband's a Vietnam combat war veteran, and this means a lot. And the thought that this is still going on and that even I hadn't given it much thought in recent years or heard anything about it, I think is a great excuse or great reason to highlight this on Full Measure this week.
You have an article at theamericanthinker.com this week, the headline on it, "A Citizen Suing the Department of Justice Needs More Than Just a Winning Legal Argument." And, of course, you have filed suit against the Department of Justice about intrusion on your computer when you were a journalist at CBS. And two questions arise. Number one, how widespread is government surveillance that we're just completely unaware of?
Well, let me answer that first by saying I think we now have evidence in hand that shows it's horribly pervasive in ways that we never envisioned, that most people would not think is okay, and many people think is at odds with our Constitution. Last Sunday on Full Measure, and you can see the replay at fullmeasure.news, I went over some of this, the surveillance scandals that have emerged not just in 2016, but what our intel community has allowed itself to do in the past decade and a half or more. Whether it's surveilling innocent politicians, innocent citizens, innocent journalists, things that surveillance tools were never designed to be used for or be used on. So I think it's extremely pervasive and dangerous and offensive to the Constitution.
And one other thing that I don't think people realize, and it struck me this week with the legal fees that I'm sure have been incurred by so many people that have been wrapped up in the Mueller investigation, just innocent people who went to work for the administration who have had to hire counsel because they have got to give testimony behind closed doors or they're subpoenaed at the Congress, by the Congress. And something, not only the legal fees, but something you note in your article is just some of the miscellaneous out-of-pocket costs, which you can't even fathom. And you have an example that you've written about in the article.
Well, yeah, I thought this was just a perfect example because when I appealed my case, I figured I could have printed up the brief at my house for about $20 in ink and paper, but you're not allowed to do that. You know, everything is aimed in a direction that favors, in my view, the government because they have your tax money to spend on all this. You're spending your own money out of pocket. But what would have cost me $20? You have to go. You're required to get it printed and bound like a book only by certain companies. And that $20 brief cost over $600 to be printed up, which is just one tiny example of the things that happen that put the courthouse out of reach of most ordinary Americans. So I'm suing the government in this case, but imagine if the government were coming after you. Even if you're innocent, you cannot mount a kind of defense. Again, they have unlimited time and unlimited taxpayer funds to go after you. There's just no way any ordinary person can go up against that. And I think that's why in some cases you have people admitting things or pleading to things that they might prefer to fight, or in some cases that they might say they didn't do, because you have to cut your losses at some point. And I think it's a terrible thing. It goes out at that whole notion of, you know, two layers of justice in a way. There's justice that some people can get, but I think most ordinary people, it's pretty much out of the question in many instances.
Yeah, they're forced to just go to their attorney and say, "Get me out of this. How can we stop this? How can I stop the bleeding?"
Right.
Cheryl Atkison, host of Full Measure. That's tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock on ABC7. As always, Cheryl, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Will do. And a reminder that you can go to GoFundMe and check out her legal fund. It is 7:58 now, Saturday morning update.
Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. .com. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. This book may not be for you, but if you're like most people, you'll be blown away when you learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. And as a bonus for hitting the bestsellers list, I've been gifted 250 copies from my publisher. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send you a copy of the national best-selling book. You can buy it on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble or be among the first 250 people to reply. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776 to claim your free national best-selling book now. That's the word bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Just text the word bestseller to 49776.
That's it for the Saturday morning update. The news is next with Heather Curtis, then Garden Sense on WMAL.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Get your shot at $1,000 four times a day. 4K a day on WMAL, a Cumulus station.